Today's scripture comes from Psalm chapter 72, verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. A few weeks ago, we met to plan our preaching schedule for the coming year. And in thinking about the communion Sundays, I've decided that for the coming year, we're going to spend each communion Sunday looking at a particular psalm. The psalms, of course, are the hymn book and the songs of the Hebrew people and make up a goodly portion of the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at the psalms each communion Sunday. And so the sermon will be somewhat shorter so that we can spend a little more time in holy communion with each other. To begin this new plan, this new direction, I've chosen Psalm 72 for today. Why? Well, I believe it's a good psalm to help me introduce and lay the groundwork for the upcoming sermon series that I've planned to preach on faith and politics. Incidentally, it's my hope that as a result of this sermon series, we'll all have a better idea of what God expects of us as Christian voters, but also of what we expect of our elected, what God expects of our elected officials seeking public office before we step into the voting booth on November the 6th. I believe this psalm today is helpful in doing just that. The psalm opens with the psalmist's petition to God, a plea for a king who will bring prosperity and justice for all. This petition is a call for a king or a leader who will serve the common good. As I spent time with this psalm this week, I found three distinct themes woven throughout this psalm: righteousness, justice, and peace. These three ideals are based upon a very complicated Hebrew word which can be loosely translated to mean social justice. This means that no one, no human being, should be without the basic necessities of life. So what kind of king does the psalmist cry out to God for, and what kind of leaders should we be looking for in November? Well, first it tells us that the king is to be an agent of God. The king is to see the world as God sees it. That is, the king should be the defender of the most vulnerable and delivers the needy. This might include such things as providing shelter, cultivating useful skills, and providing meaningful work for all people, jobs. You see, this is the kind of king Israel had hoped for of its earthly kings, kings whom the Spirit of God rested, as per the prophet Isaiah. This psalmist looks for a king who will destroy those who oppress the weak and tears down unjust social systems and structures that keep God's people from flourishing and prospering. In other words, all that the king does should be life-giving, renewing, and doing what is best for all of creation. But was any of this even possible for the kings of the psalmist's day? Yes, it was. In fact, David and Solomon and Josiah and Hezekiah came really, really close to filling this bill. But even they, as human vessels, came up short many times. But that was 4,000 some years ago. What about today? What does this psalm mean for us as 21st century Christians? What does it say to those headed to the polls on November 6th? What does it say to those seeking election, political office, and the power and authority that comes with that office? I think you'll agree with me that our elected officials need to be held to a higher standard. Don't we expect them to live by high morals and high ethics? Isn't it our hope that our political leaders will be about creating a land where there is justice, hope, and a more peaceful world can exist? I do. Don't we expect our leaders to make good on the promises that they make in the campaigns? I do. But wait a minute. We got to remember something very important here. We can't put too much faith and trust and our hope in our elected leaders. After all, they too are only human. Psalm 72 reminds us that our need for someone who will never forsake us, never leave us, someone we can trust implicitly, someone who can look we can look to as our ultimate example, our ultimate exemplar. Christians see that someone as none other than Jesus Christ in this psalm, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the one, He is the one, the only one that we can truly trust. We look for these ideals in our human leaders to be models of righteousness and justice, don't we? But when you think about it, don't you think it's important for us, for God's people, to also exhibit these qualities ourselves? This psalm could be directed at each and every one of us, could it not? If so, then the psalmist is calling us to action, to be kings and queens, as you will, to give, to yield, to defend, to uphold, and to know God, as the psalmist talks about in this psalm. And just like earthly kings in the Old Testament and the political leaders of today, it's God's people who are called to reflect righteousness. It is God's people, all God's people, to reflect justice in our daily lives and in our interaction with others. We are all to take on God's peace and to seek to be filled and empowered with God's Spirit, knowing that we are created in the image of God. So, what is the bottom line here today? What is the message from the psalm? I think it's said in verse 18, which is not part of the reading, which says, "It is the God of Israel who alone does wondrous things." Nevertheless, it is God's people who are called to play a part in the work of transforming this world. As God's people, we are called, gifted, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to seek a better world, a world created and set into motion by God's good and loving purposes. A world where, in the words of the prophet Amos, justice will roll down like waters and righteousness will flow like an ever-flowing stream. A world where righteousness and peace will kiss each other and reign on earth as it is in heaven. But this can only happen if God's people, who are called by God's name, you and me, get out there and get involved. To get involved in the political process. To get out and vote for candidates who stand for the things that God stands for. It might also mean just doing our basic civic duty, like serving on jury duty, or speaking out against an injustice or an unfair practice. It might mean just simply serving in a soup kitchen or in a clothing closet, making donations to charities or missions, or simply helping kids with their homework after school, or helping an immigrant child learn English as a second language. Friends, this psalm reminds us that we are all called to do these things and to be about these things. This is the ministry of the church, after all, in a world that's in need of desperate transformation. But whatever form this ministry takes, wherever God leads you to serve, God will be with you. And God will bless our efforts to help all people know that they are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath them are the everlasting arms of a loving Father. This, I believe, is the message from this psalm for us to ponder and consider in the coming week and as we prepare our hearts in this upcoming election. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the psalmist who has expressed feelings for the need of a righteous and just king. And we hope and pray, Lord, that we can apply these principles as we prepare to elect officials in the coming year, in the coming months. We thank you, Lord, for this time together as God's people, and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.